is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you are absolutely amazing. Damn it, I hope you're warm. I hope you're safe. Country is freezing all over the damn place. It's frozen. Anyway, I'll be here to warm you up over the airwaves for the next 4 hours. No, this is not that type of radio. It's still sports radio. We got a lot to get into. Congratulations to The Ohio State University, picking up their first championship since 2014. Good for them. Good for Ryan Day. Hopefully he's going to get some sleep. Hey, we got some other coaching news. Ben Johnson, formally introduced today as the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. Josh McDaniels is in a he's in a familiar place. He's back with the New England Patriots. He is working with Mike Vrabel. He's going to lead the way as the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. We got a lot to get into. We have a lot to discuss. How about this? Next hour, we're going to be joined by Tim May from Letterman Row. He has covered The Ohio State University for the better part of about 40 years now. We're going to have a chat with him later on in the show to talk about everything going on in college football, what may take place into the future. Pete Fuatek is going to join us from collegefootballnews.com. You can always listen to this show starting now on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. You got a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, and if you have access to the internet, shout outs to everybody on YouTube. You can watch this show streaming on YouTube. All you have to do is pull up the Infinity Sports Network, the YouTube channel, and boom, the JR Sport Brief Show is streaming right in front of your very eyes. You want to be a part of the show? You can do that. It's simple, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. I'm everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Good to be here in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he is no longer here in Georgia. Good for him. He is in New York City. After attending the national championship game last night, and I appreciate him so much for taking the time to call in. Hickey, how you doing? You good? You got some sleep? What's up?
I am good. Did not get much sleep, but I'm happy to be back with you. It's been a long 3 days without JR in my life.
It's been a while. No Thursday, no Friday. Well, you were here yesterday for like 10 minutes, you know?
That's true. That was nice. Nice little tease. But now we got the real thing again.
It's good. Well, I'm glad you made it back safe. I almost died on my way to work today. You know, all the snow and ice out here. But I made it. And you beat it before the snow and ice fell. But is there snow and ice in New York?
Yes. It's very cold. Wow. It is. Okay. Brick outside.
All right, at least they know how to clean it up here in Atlanta. I saw a guy with I can't even call it a snow blower. There's a guy with a leaf blower blowing snow. I wanted to get a picture, but the guy was going to look at me like I was weird. I'm like, this guy has a leaf blower. He is blowing snow off the sidewalk, attempting to, with a leaf blower. I'm like, this guy's going to be out here forever. They ain't got a shovel? What is this?
Wow, I guess that highlights how that happens. Like how Atlanta's how it shuts down with one flake on the ground.
Well, none of the snow is going to be removed, I'll tell you that much. And it's cold as hell already. It's been cold as hell. And it's going to get colder overnight, so everything on the ground, the sun. Hickey, I almost bust my ass crossing the street, okay? Crossing the street, I'm like, there's ice in the street, and this is me on foot. There's already photos and videos of cars crashing into buildings and establishments. I'm standing on the sidewalk worried about whether or not I was going to get hit.
Wow.
Bad
out here. Risking your life for the audience. That's commendable.
I did. I risked my life to be here with you all. Correct. But I'm glad you made it out. How was the game last night? Thank you for calling in. How was the game?
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun. I wasn't sure at 31-7 that was going to be of an entertaining second half. So at least Notre Dame got back into it and made it interesting for sure. A lot of fun. I don't know. I was thinking about it all day today because I was trying to figure it out. Maybe it's just because I've not been in like NFL or just football domes in general.
Uh-huh.
It was loud.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it traps all of the sound, bro.
Between the fans and even like the in-commercial music, it was rocking.
I would venture to say without being disrespectful to the Falcons or the Falcons fans, I would say last night was probably the loudest it would be. I mean, outside of a packed United game, but even in a United game, you have one fan base. You don't have two dueling fan bases, one from Columbus and, you know, the other one from Indiana. That's not the case, man. So I'm sure it was loud as hell last night. And the place is huge, but it's not gigantic. I think the Benz maybe holds no more than 70-ish thousand. And so I bet it was loud. And you couldn't hear yourself think, huh?
No, not at all. Yeah, between the screaming, the in-stadium DJ, that place was juiced up 24-7. It was cool. It was very cool.
Loudest moment, Jeremiah Smith catch at the end of the game to help set up the field goal to seal it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Came across that way. You know, I had tweeted out earlier, and it, literally, right as we were, you know, obviously you were in there, we were here on the air. Watching that game in the first half as Ohio State scored touchdowns on their first, what, four drives, it was just like, what the hell am I going to sit around and watch this for? You know, I tweeted out, I said, and I think this is after I got off the air, maybe right after it was 31-7. I said, just turn the game off. Save yourself. Of course, I continued to watch the game just to see what would happen. And even when Notre Dame got, quote unquote, back into the game, making it 31-23, I'm still like, this is nothing. I didn't have a doubt, especially given the clock. If we had more time, I think Notre Dame might have made it a score. They just don't have the, quote unquote, horses. They don't. And I said it as well. After we saw Riley Leonard with that opening drive, almost took about 10 minutes off the clock. He runs the ball in. I told this to Jack Cardi, who was here with us yesterday. I said that might be their best drive of the entire game. And it might as well. I mean, 1 and 2, that besides the score later on with Greathouse, that might have been the best drive. Did you feel after that first opening drive, I'm like, hey, okay, they got a chance? Or did you think this was going to be the best that Notre Dame was going to do?
I was definitely surprised and intrigued of, okay, like this is something. That was like the perfect drive you could have had. Took up almost 10 minutes of the first quarter. Ohio State's offense is on the side. You ran the ball down their throat. And then right after Ohio State answered and then Notre Dame went 3 and out, it's like, okay, you kind of had a feeling pretty quickly. Maybe the best moment for Notre Dame is already in the past in that first drive. And then from basically then until late in the third quarter, it was long Ohio State drives, ended in touchdowns, and very quick Notre Dame offensive possessions.
Yeah, it was bad. It was just bad to watch. Listen to some of these numbers. On the offensive side of the ball, and this is what everybody said, Ohio State outgained them just in general yardage, 445-308. Sure. Ohio State had 214 yards rushing on the ground to 53 to Notre Dame. And when you are getting your ass beat, you ain't going to run the ball. You're going to go out there and try to throw the rock. This was just crazy all over the place. Will Howard had to have started, I don't know, 13 of 14 passing, 14 of 15. He ultimately ended 17-21 with two touchdowns. We saw Quinshon Judkins go out there with three touchdowns overall, two on the ground, one in the air, rushed for 100 yards. It must be nice to just bring in whoever the hell you want out of the transfer portal. And so between Will Howard and Quinshon Judkins, hey, there is your national championship, the first title for The Ohio State University since 2014. That was Urban Meyer. That was the first year of the four-team playoff format. And here they are again in 2025, winning the first national championship in this expanded 12-team playoff. Good for them. Pat themselves on the back. Ryan Day says, we're one of the best teams ever.
The stories of these guys will be told because they've cemented themselves in Ohio State history, the 9th national champ and the 3rd, really, in the last 50 years. There's been some great, great teams in the last, you know, 50-some-odd years at Ohio State. Great teams, great players. Only 3 have been national champs, and these guys are one of them.
All right, enough of that. We know y'all lost to Michigan 13-10. We know that Ohio State was just beat up all over the place for the loss. And we'll get into this. Maybe people will give Ryan Day a break now. Come to find out, this man had to have security around his family 24/7 after losing to Michigan, because we got idiots out here who are complete nuts. They ain't got nothing better to do than harass a man and his family over a football game. I don't know, put the beer down, put the drugs down, put the alcohol down, stop gambling. I don't know. No reason to harass somebody over a football game. Get a life, you losers. I got Hickey. I have so many blanks to fill in. Should I fill them in or just don't say nothing?
No, don't say nothing. I want you to have a job tomorrow.
Okay. All right. But just do something better with yourself. Yeah, you. If you're somebody who harass any, if you harass somebody, you are, you know what? I'll let you use your imagination. But anyway, Will Howard in a positive mood after the game. He talked about coming back and bouncing back after that loss to Michigan. And now he's like, we're national champs. Give us a break.
It made us come together, and it really challenged us, man. Like we were in a rough spot, and I just got to give all the credit to the guys in that locker room, man, for coming together and not letting that separate us, but letting it make us come closer. And I really don't think we'd be here if it wasn't for some of the adversity that we faced this year. And man, it makes it that much sweeter.
Man. Oh, anyway, yesterday doesn't change Ryan Day's record against Ohio State, but the man is a champ. We're going to show him some more love later on. I hope he is getting some sleep, because that guy, he is not an old man, and he looks like, Hickey, I said he looks like the football version of Jeff Van Gundy. Right?
With the permanent puffy eyes?
Puffy eyes, no sleep, looks like he needs caffeine. He looks like Droopy the dog. Like, he's had a rough life, Ryan Day. And I mean, when you got fans and everything from teenagers to adults harassing you and your family over a football game, you might look miserable as well. And at the end of the game, besides Ryan Day tossing his headset into the stands and people got mad about that, he was explaining what went through his mind as the game ticked down to its final seconds.
God made it hard for a reason. And you know, you just never know what's in your path along the way, but this game can give you the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. It can take you to your knees some days as a player and as a coach, and I've been there before.
Man, he was almost brought back to his knees after the game. Hickey, did you see the young lady almost crash the golf cart that he was riding in?
Almost. She totaled that thing.
You're right. No, no, she didn't total a golf cart.
That front right wheel. Okay, fine. She didn't total it, but let's just say that's going to cost a lot of money to try to fix that wheel.
Is she? Could you imagine if he fell out? Better him than Lou Holtz, right? I mean, we don't need him falling out of a golf cart. That'd be catastrophic. They showed him a lot. Did they show him in the stadium? Of course they did.
One time, and it was actually pretty late in the game. It was actually, I believe it was either the final possession for Ohio State offensively or the one just before it when Notre Dame was on defense. All of a sudden, everyone saw him and went crazy, but they didn't show him a lot. It was
they
weird.
They showed him at the end when they was getting whooped.
Yeah.
Like he was supposed to.
They were in the game trying to make a comeback.
Okay. All right.
The crowd, I will say, loudest heard Notre Dame all, even after the touchdowns, loudest all day for Notre Dame was when they showed Lou Holtz.
Loudest for Ohio State, was it LeBron? No.
Urban Meyer. They gave Urban Meyer some sort of like award. I forget what exactly it was during one of the TV timeouts, and the place went wild.
Now, was he solo? Did he have young blonde women with him? Was his wife there? Was he on a chain? Like, what happened?
I believe his wife was the woman next to him. So, yes, he was accompanied by his wife.
Okay, good. So, she didn't appear to be college age then, okay, right?
No. Yes, that is correct. Okay. That is correct.
That's good. That means that he learned his lesson. A lot of lessons to be learned here. And congratulations to Ohio State. What we saw yesterday was not a big shock. You got Ohio State winning another championship. This is their ninth overall. We got another Big Ten school, I guess, between Michigan and Ohio State going back-to-back. These two now have additional, Ohio State has more recent bragging rights. Now they can go back and forth at each other for the next forever. And Ryan Day, I hope he gets a break. He made it a point last night to say, oh, yeah, this feels good, but I'll be back to work soon. Because if I lose our opening season game later this year against Texas, things will go right back into the you-know-what for me. People will not give me a break. So I hope he's enjoying this. I hope his family is enjoying this. Shout-outs to all the wonderful listeners that we have out in Columbus and in Ohio. I've always had a wonderful time out there. And for Notre Dame, we're going to get into that. Because you have Marcus Freeman, and I get it. You're the head coach. This is what you're supposed to do. Marcus Freeman was the one who took the blame. He said, blame me. Now, is that accurate? Were people expecting Notre Dame to be here? I certainly wasn't, especially after losing to Northern Illinois. I didn't expect that. But here they are. They might have an opportunity to do so again. Or, and also, realistically, is Marcus Freeman going to stick around in college? Or is he going to go to the NFL? And then, hey, how about the same thing has been kind of bandied about just a little bit with Ryan Day. If you're Ryan Day, are you thinking about the league? Is the league thinking about you? Is it even worth it for this man to step into the NFL? I'm not so sure about that. We'll talk about Ryan Day and his future, get into Marcus Freeman and his admission of guilt as to why they lost last night. We're going to talk about Josh McDaniels back with the New England Patriots as their offensive coordinator, where he's won six championships. And speaking of the Patriots, the other loser team in their division, the New York Jets, they want to pay Aaron Glenn to be their head coach. Man, if I'm Aaron Glenn, I get it. You want the check. You want the money. You want to be a coach. I know you played for the Jets. Run. I know it's not Halloween. It's January. It is not October. It's not October 31st. This is not the Nightmare on Elm Street. Run. We're going to talk about everything that has gone on today. Ben Johnson with words as the new Bears head coach. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. How about this? Man, Major League Baseball, before the night is up, we're going to find out the newest additions to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. We're going to talk about that, talk about some more coaching. We got a lot to do. We got guests coming through. Infinity Sports Network, the JR Sport Brief Show. We'll be back on the other side. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. How about this? We know the newest class, the newest inductees of the Baseball Hall of Fame. How about this? Congratulations in order for Ichiro Suzuki, CC Sabathia, and Billy Wagner, as they have both went past the threshold of 75% to be Hall of Famers, to go into Cooperstown. Ichiro, CC Sabathia, and Billy Wagner are your three latest inductees to go into Cooperstown. Congratulations to all three of them. We know about Ichiro. This man came over here in 2001, MVP and Rookie of the Year in his first season. He was 27 years old. This man just put bat to ball. Hand-eye coordination unlike any human being that I can ever remember seeing in Major League Baseball. He had that rocket out in right field, especially for a dude who was so slight. Like, he was just a machine. That's it. There was no, well, he's Japanese, but there was no talking. There was no showboating. The man stretched out in the on-deck circle. Did all those stretches to get limber, to get loose, moving his back and his spine. And he went out there, and his swing always looked so consistent. Was never rattled. Shout-outs to Ichiro Suzuki, a 10-time All-Star, 10 gold gloves. This was a bad man. And if you actually think about his tenure between the Japanese Baseball League and Major League Baseball, he has more hits combined than anybody ever, including Pete Rose. He has 3,089 hits in Major League Baseball. He came over to the big leagues when he was 27 years old. Ichiro Suzuki is a different cat. Listen to this. This is the announcement that just came down the pipe on MLB Network. This is Ichiro. Congrats.
Our first electee was a 10-time Major League All-Star, a 10-time Gold Glove Award winner, and a 2-time American League batting champion, becoming the 30th member of the 3,000-hit club over 19 seasons with the Seattle Mariners, New York Yankees, and Florida Marlins. Today, Ichiro Suzuki becomes a member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. He came to Seattle in 2001 after winning 7 Pacific League batting titles with the Oryx Blue Wave of Nippon Professional Baseball and immediately made a major impact.
He won 7 batting titles before he was 27 years old. Ichiro was different. And he was so different. He was so dedicated. We see the same results when we think about Shohei Ohtani. Everybody talks about how just kind of dialed into the game that he is. There's no fluff. There's nothing extra. You think about it, some of Japanese baseball and how they treat it. It's almost like culture, like religion. It's militant. And I've seen some of these documentaries surrounding Ohtani and how he played and his training growing up. And it's just like, hey, you're playing baseball. But this is like the military. Listen to how precise this man, Ichiro Suzuki, was when it came down to his preparation. This is a piece that MLB Network prepared by talking to multiple of his teammates, or several of them.
Ichiro, there was a time there where he got to the ballpark at the same exact time for 4 years. The incredible consistency. We knew exactly where he was at any time of the day.
He was all out from the minute he got there. He took batting practice every day. He shagged balls in the outfield every day. He threw to bases every day. Everything that could possibly happen in a major league game, he practiced full tilt to prepare for that.
I could see it. I could see it every day. Same time, same thing. Walk in the door, same time. Hickey, he probably moved like Batman, right? I don't know. Like, you go into Ichiro's closet at home, he's just like black slacks, black shirt, black shoes, get in the car at 2:05, go to the stadium. I bet his house was so clean, simple, everything to the point.
Oh, everything nicely folded away. Yeah. The drawers were all organized. The bed is made in the morning precisely. Yeah, I think every minute, maybe every second of Ichiro's day, it sounds like, was mapped out and figured out.
We can't take away from the results. The first Japanese-born player to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, which is pretty awesome. Let's go from Japan. Let's go to a guy from California. Let's go to my main man from Oakland. Let's go talk about CC Sabathia, 6-time All-Star. He just got the call to head to Cooperstown as well. This is the announcement, bigging him up on MLB Network.
Our second member of the class of 2025 won 251 games and struck out 3,093 batters during a 19-year career with the Cleveland Indians, Milwaukee Brewers, and New York Yankees. Today, CC Sabathia becomes a member of the Hall of Fame. A 6-time All-Star and the 2007 American League Cy Young Award winner, he led the AL in victories in back-to-back seasons in 2009 and 2010, winning 20 games in the latter season to join the prestigious fraternity of Black Aces. He helped lead his team to the postseason in 10 different seasons, earning ALCS MVP honors in 2009 en route to a World Series championship with the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, he took the Yankees' money and he won himself a championship in 2009. Now, here's kind of where baseball is trending towards. You notice there was no announcement about CC Sabathia having 300 wins. Didn't need it. Like, I think we're kind of past that right now, especially given what the players do and what the pitchers do now. I'd be shocked if we get too many other folks out here with 300 wins. You think about a Verlander. Like, we're past that. A Scherzer. These are locks for the Hall of Fame. But as we move further and further down the line, thinking about 300 wins and going into the Hall of Fame, like, the benchmark is going to change. And CC Sabathia is certainly beloved by his teammates as well. Listen to Aaron Boone and some of his other teammates and managers talk about not just what a great baseball player he was, but a great person.
In Cleveland, in the early days, watching him come up, he was one of the guys. You know, he would ask questions, but he also grew into a great leader, which I think he then carried on into New York.
He's had some career with the Yankees. That was some signing.
You know, for being a superstar player, it was so easy to be around him. And everyone that came into our clubhouse, players, whether it be a young player, felt that connection with him. And he has that ability to make you feel special and to make you feel important.
Yeah, that was Aaron Boone at the close there. The first voice you heard was his former teammate with Cleveland. That was Jim Thome. That man used to crack some home runs. And how about this guy? Congratulations to this man. He's going into the Hall of Fame. This was his last chance to make it in with the vote from the Baseball Writers Association of America. Once you get past that, you got to wait some time, and then you got to wait for these stupid committees to vote you in and let you in. We have another reliever who has made it into the Hall of Fame. This time, his name is Billy Wagner. This announcement was just made just a few minutes ago. MLB Network.
And our final member of the class of 2025 played 16 seasons for the Astros, Phillies, Mets, Red Sox, and Braves, finishing his career with a sparkling 2.31 ERA and 422 saves, the eighth most all time. Today, Billy Wagner joins the Hall of Fame family. As one of the game's most dominating closers, his fastball regularly topped 100 miles an hour. He struck out one-third of the batters he faced in the big leagues, and his 1,196 career strikeouts stood for years as the most by a left-handed reliever in Major League history. Among pitchers with 900 or more innings, he has the highest strikeout rate and the lowest opponent batting average in MLB history.
Good for Billy Wagner, the ninth full-time reliever to be voted into Cooperstown. And this was his final year. Last year, you need 75% of the vote. Last year, Billy Wagner had 73.8% of the vote. He was five total votes shy. Now, throughout the course of the evening, we're going to find out more about where the percentages lie for all of the players. And I'm not just talking about the three that got in. Here, let me tell you about some players who did not get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. You ready for this? Andrew Jones, Chase Utley, Omar Vizquel, Jimmy Rollins. I saw him a little while ago. Bobby Abreu, Andy Pettit. He ain't going in. Mark Burley, ain't no Hall of Famer. Francisco Rodriguez, the pitcher, he ain't going. Torrey Hunter, nice defense, he ain't going. Hickey, what the hell is this? Are my eyes deceiving me? And this is David Wright. What?
I mean, every player who's played in the league is technically eligible.
Oh, come here. Oh, my God. Can I be eligible for the Hall of Fame? I didn't play a lick. None. What do we have? Ian Kinsler? Wow, what are some of the... Hanley Ramirez?
He had one good year, right? Remember him?
Ian Kinsler? I remember him. Well, Texas? Texas? Yeah. Detroit? Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
He's second baseman.
Oh, Felix Hernandez? Borderline, right? Cy Young's borderline.
Kind of like a firecracker in terms of the longevity of dominance was not there.
No, not Dustin Pedroia, his body betrayed him. Yeah, some of these names. Troy Tulowitzki.
Body betrayed him.
Russell Martin. Brian McCann. When did he quit? He's been gone. He's been gone that long already. I feel like I was watching him here in Georgia a couple years ago. Damn. And shout out to Curtis Grandison. Great guy. Not a Hall of Famer. Adam Jones. Which one? One from the Orioles? Not quite. And Hickey, to the surprise of nobody. Carlos Beltran didn't get in. Sorry. Manny Ramirez, nope, didn't get in. Alex Rodriguez, you think he's having a cigar somewhere? Alex Rodriguez, not a Hall of Famer. And there you have it. Congratulations to CC Sabathia, Billy Wagner, and Ichiro Suzuki. No shocks there, Hickey. None. I don't feel like there are any there.
I'm with you. No, I think all three were deserving. I think everyone else that got left off right now feels deserving as well. I think they nailed it.
You think every one of these players, you think David Wright feels like he belongs in the Hall of Fame?
No. I think he had a really good career for the Mets. I think Wright still retiring his number, but I'm with you. No.
He doesn't think he's a Hall of Famer.
No.
No. I thought you said everybody who was named was. No. Oh, you didn't mean like the
sure, like the three people that got in, like, okay, were deserving, and yeah, the ones that did not get in, I think were also, sorry, I mean like deserving, like, of not getting in. Like, I think they got it perfectly right. Not, no, Hanley Ramirez, I'm not advocating, or Ian Kinsler, for them to get into the Hall of Fame. Absolutely not.
Yeah, Ian Kinsler's having a drink somewhere. He's having a
do you think for those guys even, like, remember or notice, like, oh, yeah, today's voting day, or is it just kind of like, it's so far gone, like, ah,
you know what, they're probably reminded. You know, some local beat reporter reaches out the week before, the day before. Hey, how do you feel? He's like, man, I'm not thinking about that. Having dinner with my family or having a drink. Hanging out with a blonde and having a cigar if your name is A-Rod. So, and by the way, we have gotten no resolution as to whether or not him and his buddy are going to own the Timberwolves, which is hilarious to me. I would have thought we would have had some type of answer by now, but I guess there's still an arbitration. Maybe A-Rod will be a winner in other regards. Congrats to Billy Wagner, CeCe, and Ichiro Suzuki. The phone lines are open. That's 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I don't blame these writers. I know a lot of these writers can be complete idiots, like whoever the hell that one guy is who didn't think Derek Jeter was a Hall of Famer. Whatever. Anyway, the phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler. When we come back on the other side, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to Hickey. I'll talk to whoever. We also got to get back to this college football. I told you Marcus Freeman, he felt guilty for losing last night. He said he was the one to blame. Not quite. Yeah, we got football. We got baseball. We got NFL coaches. We got lots of news.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, before we talk about Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame last night, who basically took the blame for losing to Ohio State, making him and Notre Dame losers, I found a different loser. I found one. Just here in the break, you know what? I can't say I found the loser. Because this loser is anonymous. Right before we went to break, literally about 20 minutes ago, we learned of the latest inductees into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Ichiro Suzuki, CeCe Sabathia, Billy Wagner. Carlos Beltran has 70% of the vote. FYI, you need to reach a threshold of 75 to be named the Hall of Famer. Carlos Beltran just misses out 70%. Billy Wagner finally gets in, 82. CeCe Sabathia, God bless him, 86, 87% of the vote. Ichiro Suzuki, 99.7% of the vote. Ichiro misses out on being a unanimous Hall of Famer by one vote. What crackpot decided not to put Ichiro Suzuki as a Hall of Famer? What planet do you have to be living on not to have Ichiro Suzuki as a Hall of Famer? This man saw the ball and he hit the ball. This man could hit for power if he wanted to, but he hit for contact. This man played defense. The man stole bases. The man was a rookie of the year and an MVP in his first season in the bigs. I remember when Ichiro came over, everybody's like, who the hell is this guy? And then as the season went on, everybody, like the first month is just like, oh, okay, all right, good. Oh, second month, oh, he's good. The third month, how much longer is he going to do this? And then by the time you get to the end of the year, you're looking at Ichiro Suzuki and you're going, this guy's a freak. And then you go into the offseason and you just go, oh, well, last year, first year was a fluke. And then the guy did it for the better part of almost 20 years. And we got a sports writer out here who's anonymous. I don't know. Maybe they reveal themselves. They don't think Ichiro's a Hall of Famer. This is like looking at Michael Jordan and going, yeah, Michael Jordan, not so much. Nah, he's not in the Hall of Fame for me. It's like looking at Tom Brady and going, you know what? He was good, but Pro Football Hall of Fame, Canton, I'm not going to put him in. Which hasn't happened, by the way, but it will. And I know Ichiro doesn't have rings and hardware. Baseball is the ultimate team sport. Every great player is going to walk away with a damn ring. God rest his soul, Tony Gwynn is no longer here. Tony Gwynn went to the World Series. He met the New York Yankees. Curtains for him. Ichiro Suzuki is one of the best baseball players ever, and period. And I'm not an advocate for violence. Far be it, I'm not an advocate. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Whoever didn't vote for that man needs his head checked out. Maybe he needs it punched out of his head. I'm just saying. Hickey, that's nuts. Did Ichiro spit on this guy's kid? Like, how do you not vote Ichiro into the Hall of Fame?
I have no idea. I wish I knew. And that it, is it too extreme to take his vote away?
I wish they need to make it public. It's not extreme. Like, and this guy, is this person going to reveal themselves?
I guess, like you said, it's up to them. Maybe that's the fix you make of just, like, public shaming of, hey, if you want to be the one guy who doesn't vote for Ichiro, everyone knows. But what you just outlaw, like, it's one of those, it's obvious. He is clearly a Hall of Famer. There's nothing you could argue that says otherwise. Like, how can you truly sit there and say, no, I'm not voting for him? Baseball artists are so petty and it's so stupid. But I think, I bet you the reason is, at least, and he probably won't say it, but internally is, he doesn't deserve, in his mind, I'm sure, to be unanimous. Because now it's not just to be good enough to be a first ballot. There's only one player that's unanimous, so we're going to keep it that way or reserve that for the greatest of the greatest, whatever you want to, you know, determine that to be, or whoever you want to determine that to be. That has to be the only reason, which is not a good enough reason.
Yeah, just to be a jerk. Yeah, people. So Mariano Rivera is the only man voted into the Hall of Fame unanimously. Derek Jeter, ultimate champion, winner, what have you. And people will look at Derek Jeter and go, oh, he's not A-Rod. The man just won, okay? This is it. You want to win. That's why you play sports, is to win. You think about the moments. You just want to win. That's what Derek Jeter did. And by the way, he was also good with putting the bat on the ball. Derek Jeter missed out as well with one vote. And so it's not been confirmed. But it appears that there was a writer, Nick Canepa, I think, a San Diego Union Tribune, apparently, and not verified. He was the one writer who didn't vote Derek Jeter in unanimously. He's a guy who didn't vote. Members of the media always want us to be accountable as players. Okay, that's what Derek Jeter says. Wow. Yeah, this is just stupid. Members of the media always want us to be accountable as players, Jeter said, as the good game, bad game. You have to stand in front of your locker. You have to address the media. I did it every single day. You may not have liked what I said, but I was accountable and I was there. And I think you should expect the same from members of the media. I don't care that someone didn't vote for me. I really don't. But I do think what becomes annoying is I have to constantly answer the question. And I don't think I should be the one answering the question. Whoever it is should answer the question. I don't have a problem with it, but I get tired of being asked the question. Reasonable explanation. I don't think Derek Jeter is out of here. Awful announcing says, while it's never been confirmed, it does, however, seem likely that Nick Canepa of the San Diego Union Tribune was the lone writer who did not vote for Jeter. In 2022, he wrote a column stating he left his 2020 and 2021 Hall of Fame ballots blank. After reading that column, someone claims to have inquired why Canepa didn't vote for Jeter, and his alleged response stated, Derek Jeter isn't up for the Hall yet. He's a Hall of Famer first ballot. Has to be out 5 years. Jeter was already in Cooperstown at the time of this response from Canepa. Unconfirmed email. The writer naively admits to not knowing when Jeter was eligible. Probably isn't the type of accountability Jeter is looking for. Oh, my goodness. Hickey, there's just losers all over the place. That's a fair assumption, right?
Yes, and unfortunately, probably too many losers in too many different places.
Yeah, everybody got an ego. Everybody has an ego. But don't let your ego get in the way of just common sense. And I don't even want to say how you treat others. I'm sure Derek Jeter probably didn't even know who this guy is. You got this man out here but he's still a Hall of Famer. Look, I always say you can't be judged by by other humans whose job it is to just judge you. You got to be judged by your work. Let your work speak for yourself. Not always about the awards and what you get and what you don't get. We can think about MVPs and Hall of Fame this, and it's nice to get it. But, man, the resume speaks for itself. Everybody wants to be acknowledged by your peers, people who look at you, pay attention to you. You got to realize these people are human, too, and a lot of them are just a bunch of jackasses. And congratulations again to Ichiro, CeCe Sabathia, and Billy Wagner for getting into the hall. And for the one idiot who didn't go vote for Ichiro, go get a better job. Ichiro should just meet you in Japan and whoop your ass, okay? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to give you an update on some of the movement in the NFL's coaching carousel. And then we're going to talk about two coaches from last night, college football playoff national championship. One is a winner. And one is a loser. I hope Ryan Day is in Disney World somewhere. And Marcus Freeman, I hope he's okay, too. Okay. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.